Welcome to another episode of Toonami Therapy. This time it'll be the episodes that aired on August 5th and 6th on Toonami that we'll be going through. But before that, we have some news. They have, in fact, announced what is going to be replacing Ghost in the Shell. And it is not Ghost in the Shell Season 2. It's Outlaw Star, which is an anime they aired on Toonami quite a long time ago. It was... Actually, when was it? Let me double check on that. And I don't think you ever saw it, did you?
No, I have never seen it. In fact, I don't even know what genre it is. So
it's I'm trying to think of it's basically space western. That's the that's the first thing that comes to mind for it.
Okay, like Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah, like that, except, more, Cowboy Bebop, yeah, kind of like that, although Cowboy Bebop was more, you know, restricted, I believe, to, like, our solar system. This is a more intergalactic one.
I see.
Because I don't think, Cowboy Bebop, I can't even remember, did it, like, have any aliens, or was it just all about, humans?
No, there were people who were born on, moons of Jupiter and stuff.
No, I mean aliens as in not humans.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, so this one has that from what I remember. So it's more, I guess, futuristic and such. Anyway, yeah, I remember watching it back when it originally aired, but it was so long ago that I, like, can't really remember much of anything about it. It aired in 2001 on Toonami, so that explains it. I mean I can remember some things, but I honestly can't really remember what my overall opinion of this series was. I watched the whole thing, which is an indication. I remember there were some things I didn't really like about the ending, but I can only partially remember them, and I can't really say them without any spoilers. But I do remember, I'm pretty sure I enjoyed the series on the whole. I do know they skipped an episode, because it was, of course, the Hot Springs episode, I think, originally. But apparently they're actually going to air it this time, because you can do more when you're airing stuff like past midnight than when you're airing it in the afternoon. So that'll definitely be interesting to see how it holds up, if at all. Yeah, it's actually, when I'm thinking about, I mentioned space western, but in some ways it feels kind of like, there's some similarities sort of to One Piece also, except, you know, in space instead of in the seas. I guess you'll see when it airs, because it's, there's only one episode of Ghost in the Shell left, I think.
Right.
So we'll be getting it soon enough. I guess we can discuss it more when it airs. All right. So that now we will move into the actual episodes. So Dragon Ball Super episode 28. In this one, we've got Vegeta and Goku are still training on Beerus's planet when those two other guys that looked like Beerus and Whis that we've kind of seen a few times show up. And it turns out that they're basically the alternate versions of them from another universe, because there's, I can't remember how many universes they said there were. Was it like 14? No, there's a total of 12 universes. And these two universes are just particular counterparts or whatever. Anyway, so Champa is a sort of counterpart of Beerus, except who looks a lot like him, except he's fat, more fat. And Vados is basically just a female Whis. Champa, like, you know, brings like some food to try to show it off to Beerus, but then discovers that instant ramen is actually better. That's still funny. So he gets jealous of the fact that apparently all of the best food in the universe is on Earth, and wants to try to find the Earth in his own world. But it turns out that Earth, nothing lives in anywhere because of some massive war that killed everyone. So long story short, they end up basically making this bet on some on some sort of fighting tournament between the universes. And if he wins, then Earth, he gets to swap the universes, so he actually gets to eat all the stuff at Earth. And the other one is that he's been collecting the various sort of, I don't know, these more powerful things in the Dragon Balls that Beerus gets them. So, which, of course, makes Goku super excited, because now he's going to be able to fight other really strong opponents.
So another World Martial Arts Tournament?
Well, I mean, it's anime. What would it be without a tournament arc? Well, actually, Bleach never had a tournament arc. That is actually something very interesting. Bleach actually did not have a tournament arc, despite lasting as long as it did. I don't think there is a tournament arc even in the filler episodes. Wow, Bleach, you really that's like one of the biggest cliches, and it actually dodged it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the whole, I enjoyed this episode. I thought there was a lot of good humor in it.
Yeah, I was not really into it too much. It was okay, but I didn't really think it was as funny as it was probably supposed to be. So,
okay.
I don't know.
Well, at least I thought the pacing was better, because we're actually going into the newer material rather than just trying to take every 5 minutes of a film and make it into a full episode.
Mm-hmm.
It at least didn't feel as blatantly padded as that. Okay. All right. So, next episode, Dragon Ball Z Kai, episode 120 or 127, whichever numbering system you're going by. I forgot which one we were doing. So basically, Vegeta has realized that to beat Majin Buu, because he can just so effortlessly regenerate, he essentially has to completely destroy him. So after Goten and Trunks try to help out, he basically just sort of knocks them out and kind of talks with Piccolo, because apparently his plan is actually to just totally sacrifice himself in some giant explosion to try to kill Majin Buu. Piccolo apparently kills Babidi, he just slices him in half, and he's like, "What? I was not meant to die like this." Yeah. So that's just like the end of the episode. Vegeta just basically does that to try to stop Boo, and I didn't I know I didn't really, I summarized that pretty quickly, but honestly, I thought this was a pretty, I did like this episode. I thought this was a good character moment for Vegeta.
And for Piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say, the Super Namekian.
Yeah.
Is he still the Super Namekian, or did that other guy get split off from him yet?
No, he's still them combined.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was nice that Piccolo did something for once, because Piccolo's been like the most useless character on the show for a while now. But yeah,
That's not fair. He's not Krillin.
Oh yeah, that's true.
At least he's able to like give exposition on some things, if nothing else. Okay. Yeah, like I said, honestly, I did enjoy the episode. I did like the character development it gave Vegeta for this. The fact he actually was willing to sacrifice himself in order to do this. It's one of those cases where not much happened, but stuff did happen, and I actually did enjoy it. So. All right. So next is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Episode 2. So Jotaro gets pestered by a bunch of... So he goes to school, and a bunch of women, girls, crush on him. And as far as I know, they're not at all important to the plot, so I'm just going to skip over them. Then another guy, like Kakyoin, uses his own stand to basically attack Jotaro and make him sort of fall down these stairs, which he's able to survive because of his own stand. Then they, so he ends up going to the nurse, even though he actually really he has to go to the nurse's office, and it is kind of funny when she's like telling him, like, "Did you get into a fight?" And then the other guys there are saying, "Jotaro's never gotten hurt in a fight. Why would you think that?" I guess to kind of mention him being really him actually being really strong. Although I guess you could just kind of take a glance at him. If your nickname is JoJo, you seem to be. It seems like you must be super ripped in this universe. Okay, so that other guy then uses his stand, which is called Hierophant Green, to sort of take control of the nurse and have her fight JoJo. But he's able to take the stand, the Hierophant Green, out of her, and then fight against it. And there's, you know, some back and forth in there, but he's ultimately able to win and beat up the stand, which of course does have the effect of really mauling Kakyoin, because it is mentioned as something, because if something happens to your stand, it apparently happens to you also. So then he just kind of takes his body and nonchalantly jumps out the window and walks off school ground, and no one apparently ever has any questions for him after the fact or knows he was there. But then just sort of takes him back to, you know, to his grandfather, Joseph, who does mention that unfortunately it looks like the wounds are fatal, but he also mentions that apparently Kakyoin was being manipulated by Dio, because he points to something on his forehead, and that's where the episode ends, to indicate he had been sort of controlled, which isn't really that hard to guess by the fact that he's featured in the opening credits as a main character.
Yeah, you're gonna have to back up on that one.
I don't think I summarized that very well, unfortunately.
Well, I didn't really. Okay, so this guy's being controlled by Dio. He's not really a bad guy. He's just
that's what the ending implies.
Oh, that's what it implied. Yeah. Okay, so...
I mean, you can just kind of assume it. Like I said, you look at the theme song. He's there as apparently an important character, so...
Okay, this... the artist guy, the painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that kind of makes more sense now, that I don't know why I don't remember the last scene of this episode, but... okay, so... Yeah, yeah, I didn't understand the thing with the nurse. Like, the nurse was saying this isn't a pen or something, trying to convince them it wasn't a pen. What was that about?
She was being controlled by the higher Aerophant Green stand.
What's that?
That was the other guy's stand, the Kakyoin, okay. Well, the green one that was that was attacking JoJo.
Okay, so the stands are the new Hamo.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Okay, well, this episode wasn't bad at all. I just was a little confused because such and such character is being controlled by this character, and then that character is being controlled by Dio, and I don't know, it's just... it's all Dio's fault, you know. Blame it on Dio.
Everything is Dio's fault. I feel like there needs to be. I'm trying to think of how to put that into a meme, but all I can think of is the "did nothing wrong" meme, which doesn't work at all for this.
Oh no! What you said? There was a movie called "Blame It on Rio." So you should say,
okay.
Blame it on Dio.
Okay, blame it on. Okay, that's a good one. I have not seen that movie.
It's from the 80s.
Okay,
it's before our time. All right.
All right. Yeah. So basically, it was sort of introducing, you know, an opposing stand and fighting against it, which is my understanding is what happens a lot in this series. They have going up against someone else with a stand and having to figure out how to beat them. There were some other there were some good bits of comic relief. I did like the part where Joseph is saying, "Ugh, this Japanese coffee is terrible," and then Abdul just said, "That's American coffee," and goes, "Huh." Okay, next is Tokyo Ghoul episode 17. So let's see. So there's some flashback stuff to Juzo and those other two guys that he's fighting against as cadets, and as they were apparently part of the CCG, and I don't know. That part was a little confusing. But the important thing is ending the present, hence they've become ghouls and he's fighting against them. And honestly, this is kind of the first time I think we've really gotten to see much of him in action. And I actually did enjoy just his sheer complete sociopathy in the fight. A sociopathic nature in the fight. You know, just like the way he's super cheerful through all of it. Then there was some other stuff with some other characters fighting that I can't really remember that well and can't really summarize that well. Mostly I just remember that, Kaneki was up against that other inspector guy who I can't remember the name of. I just remember him. Oh, he's that guy who looks kind of like that one guy from Haikyuu. But now he's dead, so I guess I don't need to remember that any way. And then he ends up going up against Amon. That was his name. Who he fought before and stuff. And yeah, that's kind of it. So, and there's some other stuff that happened that didn't make that big of an impression on me.
This was just Tokyo Ghoul. That's all it was. It was just Tokyo Ghoul.
I mean, I honestly did think the stuff with Juzo was interesting, if only because there's a lot of indications he was, I don't know if the proper term is sociopath or psychopath, but he was just completely like that in here, and it honestly was pretty entertaining to watch him just act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wish this series had introduced characters a lot slower than it did, so I would actually know who these characters are, because, you know, I was still trying to get used to those original characters, and now they seem to be completely cut out of it, so.
Yeah.
Like, remember the French guy? Remember the French guy?
Yeah.
He's, like, not even anywhere to be seen now, so, yeah.
I don't even know if it's an issue of them, like, not introducing characters slowly. It's just they introduce them, and then they don't really do much with them, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, this is a part where they're really important, and I'm supposed to care about them, but you didn't do anything with them before now, which was the problem. Okay. Wow, we're just going through stuff. Episode 61 of Hunter x Hunter is next.
Okay. So, this episode... Oops. This episode talks more about the game and how to play it. So, Gon and Killua, they go into this restaurant place and start eating, and they try asking the person there, who looks like Meowth, some questions, and Meowth can't answer their questions, so he must just be an NPC. So then all of a sudden they hear an explosion and they run, and somehow they push their way to the front of everyone who's watching and see that a guy just exploded. So then they go and they find out from a bunch of people who are talking about, because, oh, I forgot to mention, I sort of started at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Killua came in and the guy cast a spell on him. And this spell, he's like super worried about this spell. So there's a chance he could go along with this other group of people so they could get his spell not cast on him. But Gon says, no, I'm playing this game for myself. And Killua decides to go with him, which means they aren't playing the game for themselves. They're playing with each other. But in any case, there's a bomber, and this bomber is, well, he likes to kill people.
He's a midnight bomber. What bombs at midnight?
And
that's a reference to The Tick for anyone who didn't know.
Yeah, so basically, the bomber. Now, see, you told me that joke, and now I can't think straight. Oh, man.
We should call him the Midnight Bomber, what bombs at midnight. That's my suggestion. That's what we should call him in this show. Because that was actually a really good episode of The Tick, from what I remember.
Well, in any case, Gon and Killua have a nice romantic moment with each other. At least I consider it romantic. And then they're being spied on by that one girl who keeps on showing up in the credits and was at that meeting. And she says she's going to ruin their friendship or something like that. And that's where the episode ends.
Okay. Well, I didn't see it as romantic. It's just guy love. There's nothing gay about it. I don't know if you saw that episode of Scrubs or not.
No, I never watched Scrubs.
Oh, there's this one musical episode, and Turk and JD have this song about, like, their guy love. It's like, they explain this guy love, that's all it is. Guy love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it. It was funny. Honestly, it just reminds me of the first episode I ever saw that show. I remember this one joke where Turk and Carla have returned from their honeymoon, and Turk is all super excited to see JD again, and Carla just like tells someone, "Someday I hope he loves me that much."
Mm-hmm.
Scrubs. You were a pretty good show on the whole, but yeah. So anyway, yeah, I did like this episode definitely more than the previous one because stuff actually happened. But there were a few comments I wanted to say that now I totally forgot. Okay, here's a big one. So they go into the game, they don't really know. They don't really know anything. They have to have the guy explain it. So here's my first problem. So the super rich guy is hiring all these people to go in there. And he's had some people previously go into the game and come out. So why didn't he have those people provide these basic instructions for people? Like, you should always bring out your book to show in case when apparently fighting against someone to if nothing else, be as a bluff, as it mentions here, like not immediately taking out your book shows that you're a new player because an experienced one would immediately bring it out. Just all these information, it's like they must have known. They couldn't have like given them some of this information beforehand to increase their chance of success. I don't know. Let's see. Other than that, I think he largely covered it. There was some stuff with the Phantom Troop going into the game, but if I remember correctly, that ends up leading nowhere, so...
Yeah.
But I do think that this... One thing I liked about this episode was the way it explained some of the rules of the game, and it did so in a much more interesting way than the previous episode where we just got a bunch of like information dumped on us. This was more organic, and you know, it's the characters learning it, so we're learning the information with them, which makes it, you know, more interesting than just, hey, here's a bunch of information I'm going to throw at you.
Once we get that new character introduced, then things will start to happen. So,
Okay. That was episode 60. One of Hunter x Hunter. If it was not the greatest, but still, I liked it better than the previous one. Next, we have Lupin III, episode 7. And oh boy, trying to explain this. This episode had like a zillion twists in it, so I'm not sure how well I can explain what happened. Uh-huh. Because it's like, well, it was this, but no, it was really this. But then it was this, but no, it was really this. But wait, it was actually this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this one woman has her husband died and supposedly left her some really big hidden fortune that Lupin and the gang have decided to try to steal. So Zenigata, actually getting a focus episode finally, is assigned to try to protect her from it. So anyway, to try to summarize things quickly, it turns out that he deduces that she actually, that there wasn't really a hidden fortune because her husband, as it turned out, actually really got super angry at her after she cheated on him once. And let's see. And didn't leave her with anything. So basically to try to decide, okay, well, everyone's just going to continue thinking you have it. We're going to make it seem like Lupin stole the whole thing so that people won't be going after that anymore, which Lupin apparently agrees to go along with. So they do that. But then it turns out she actually did have it because she found it even though her husband didn't want it to. And thus that whole thing was this convoluted plan by Lupin to trick her into lowering her guard so they could find it. But then Zenigata actually managed to outthink all of that. And I'm just suddenly thinking, wow, this is like Death Note. Except you know, a lot more comedic. But and is able to protect it. So Lupin ends up, you know, not getting anything, and because she was sort of impressed by the fact Zenigata kind of like was doing all of that just out of niceness, decides to start using like the money to, you know, try to fight to help people and fight the mafia and stuff.
So in other words, Lupin is really evil.
I mean,
because if Lupin stole that money, he would just sit on it and he wouldn't use it to stop evil people, you know, he wouldn't use it for charity. So Lupin is evil.
Who knows what he would have done with it? He might have just a lot of it is just for the thrill of it, so he might have just taken it and then just like might have only taken some of it. Who knows? But yeah, he definitely is not like exactly a pure character or not. He's definitely not a pure character. He's definitely he's definitely a very flawed individual, but he's still fun to watch. So. Okay. but on the whole, it was just, I mean, it's the same thing that it always seems to be for Lupin. Well, that was a fun way to pass half an hour, but outside of saying what happens, there's not that much to comment on, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was when I was just in, it wasn't until I just started summarizing all of this, I was thinking, wow, this is like Death Note. And I didn't even and I actually skipped past some of the, like, you know, oh, you thought this, but it was really this that the episode did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Naruto, episode 168. Okay, quick thing. When I was trying to watch this, Adult Swim's video player would not work for me, so I ended up watching this one subbed instead. I don't know if that makes any real difference, but I figured I should mention it. So, Naruto has just met the when he was about to sort of unleash the Nine Tails, meets the fourth Hokage, and the fourth Hokage, like, mentions that he implanted himself into this so that if the Nine Tails would ever seeming like to actually get out, he would appear, and he says, and, like, well, like, he wasn't happy to, like, see the Nine Tails again, but he said, but it was nice to see, my son again. So, literally, I just want to mention this, literally, several seconds after he has clearly stated that Naruto is his son, he has just referred to Naruto as his son. Naruto asks, how do you know my name? He just told you right then! And then he says, because I named you. And Naruto then acts really surprised, as if he hadn't just said this several seconds ago. What was with that?
How about the time in this episode where Naruto says something, and then, like, 2 seconds later, he says the exact same thing, exact same sentence? Maybe that didn't come out on the sub version, but it certainly came out on the dub version, where Naruto says this sentence, and then there's a little break, and then all of a sudden it comes back, and Naruto says the exact same thing again. You probably have to watch the dub version for that.
Is it possible that, I wonder if it's possible that they put the episode break at a different place in the English one? Maybe that was where it went to credits. I mean, went to commercial in Japanese, and then it came back, and then Naruto said it, you know, again, because it was coming back from the commercial. That might have been it, but I'm not sure. I do remember there's an episode, I think, of Bobobo, where that happened, where he says something, you know, and then it just kind of fades out, comes back in, you know, because of, like, commercial break, and he says it again, and then this other character said, you just said that! Okay, so after that, they basically have, you know, a conversation and stuff about, you know, Naruto's life and all that kind of stuff. And, so basically, after a bunch of that stuff goes through, in which, you know, Naruto, again, the fourth Hokage is, you know, telling Naruto the thing about how, like, you know, getting people to live together and stuff, and Naruto is like saying, well, you don't know how to do it either, and he's saying, well, you'll figure it out, basically, and he's like, I'm just a copy of myself. How would I know any of this stuff? Anyway, Naruto is then able to, without, you know, using the unleashing the Nine Tails, figure out a way to beat Pain. In being able to, they just use the Sage. And he's able to use Sage Mode and the power and stuff together in order to defeat him, and then wants to find the actual Pain in order to speak to him, and then he's able to figure out where that is, and then just, well, goes for it.
Well, wasn't the Pain, like, kind of surprised? He was like, how did you know this? I'm not the real Pain. And it was like, well, obvious, the real one's not among them. We've heard that so many times.
Yeah, and it took everyone apparently quite a while to figure out what that rather obvious phrase was supposed to mean. I mean, it's like they figured it out. They almost, like, figured it out independently anyway. Like, they're finding them and then figure it out. And I'm just thinking, you were told this by Jiraiya.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of skipped through it, but I did think Naruto's defeat of Pain was actually pretty cool. It's just, I was distracted by Naruto forgetting what was literally stated several seconds ago that happened at the start. Okay. But yeah, I did like the conclusion of the fight. I just wish the stuff with earlier had been handled a little better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Episode 25, Ghost in the Shell. So, our main characters are still on the run and such, but some of them have been able to manage to get rounded up, including that one guy, I can't remember his name, but he was an important supporting character. You know, like, I think he had the guy who was in the sort of, like, gambling place and got caught. I can't remember his name. But in terms of the characters whose names I actually remember, they do manage to track down Bato, but he's able to, you know, take out, initially is able to apparently take out the guys and get away, but then there's more heavy artillery coming after him. And then the Tachikomas show up. Because
poor Tachikomas.
Yeah, and they show up to save him, and unfortunately, all get completely destroyed in the process.
Yeah, that was sad. That was a sad moment.
Yeah,
and the Tachikomas got killed.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really bad for them.
Yeah. So the major does manage to afterwards help get Bato out of there using this sort of I can't remember what they call it. It's like a sort of radio controlled fake body or something. Like, you know, her consciousness was still in her regular one, and this was just like not a real one. It didn't even look like her. And by the way, I'm glad it wasn't permanent, because it was feeling really weird to hear this totally different voice for her character.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bato sort of joins her in the sort of safe house place temporarily, and then they try to leave. But then when they're kind of boarding, when she's boarding the plane, it turns out some sniper, you know, has gotten sight on her. And then in what actually was kind of, I know this is seeming kind of like a nitpick, but it just bugs me a little. So Bato notices a sort of red sniper laser on her face, and he just shouts out, "Motoko!" rather than saying "duck" or "watch out" or "there's a sniper" or anything else. He just says her name as if that's supposed to somehow clue her into the fact that there's the sniper thing on her. But then but in any case, she apparently gets shot and killed by that, and then he gets so it looks like she's been killed, or maybe not, because mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I didn't catch this, but until I was like reading a description that unfortunately did sort of spoil I was reading an episode synopsis that did kind of spoil this point, but it is something that because it made the big point about how the Major always wore that watch on wherever she actually was, and she wasn't wearing the watch at this point, so that indicates this wasn't actually her that was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught that.
No, I didn't catch that at all.
Okay. I mean, I assumed that she wasn't, like, dead because, you know, another season. But, I mean, for all I know, it could be about different characters. But no, that was... Then I read that and I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I totally missed that. Whoops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was another good episode. It was nice to see the Tachikomas again, even if they all die.
Yeah, that was sad.
I do predict at the end that there's probably going... That they'll, like, you know, have been able to use, like, one of their computers and putting into a new one or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prediction, because you did see the Major take something out of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've got just one episode left, and I'm going to say this does have the worry that I sometimes have in going for the last episode, where I'm like, wow, there still seems to be a lot of stuff they have to resolve, so I hope that the final last episode won't feel really rushed. Or for all I know, then again, for all I know, it'll end on some sort of cliffhanger, and then I'll be like, oh, come on, you couldn't air the second season after that? But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's the last one, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty good week on the whole. I mean, there really wasn't anything that I... disliked. I mean, I thought Tokyo Ghoul was the weakest, as is usually typical, but I mean, I still I enjoyed it compared to what we usually have been getting from it. I thought it was decent. I enjoyed all the other shows. So I don't know about you, but I thought this was a pretty good week. But in terms of my favorite, that's unfortunately where things do get a bit tricky, because there were, like I said, there's some decent competition in all of this. I think I'm going to pick Hunter Hunter.
And yeah, that's where I'm going to go with two. I'm going to pick Hunter Hunter to win this week. It was actually a pretty good episode, which is surprising given that I am under the opinion that it goes downhill once we get to this arc, but not quite yet. There's a certain moment where Hunter Hunter reaches the point of no return, and we're not there yet. So we'll try to enjoy it as much as we can while it lasts. So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I remember enjoying this arc for the most part in the manga, but that was a while ago I read it, and who knows what the anime adaptation might have changed, so we'll just have to see there. I will say one thing that has been very nice, we haven't had to deal with any of those recap episodes for quite a while. I think episodes 13 and 26 might have been the only recap episodes in the series. Or were there some later on you've seen farther than I did?
No, I don't think there are any more.
Okay. All right, well, that's some thing. All right, I suppose that would be it for this. I kind of feel like I didn't really have too much to say about the episodes, but that's just because so many of them were just like, okay, that happened and that was enjoyable. Not much else to say. But that's been it for this week on Toonami Therapy. You can see more of our episodes at either toonamitherapy.podbean.com or tommyaphillips.com, which is Tommy's blog. You can see his reviews of other things as well there. We ordinarily try to record this on Tuesday and put it up on Wednesday if you want some kind of schedule, but it doesn't always work out that way. But that's what we try for anyway. I don't think there's really much else to say, so do you have anything to add?
Nope, not really.
Okay, and that's it. See ya. Bye.
Bye, Nee.